Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a very quick around the horn there, Jack. You got kickoff, first pitch, and tip
Not
off.
Sure what was going on up here. Couldn't tell you.
In like a two-second span, but you rebounded. You rebounded. We have it on one of the TVs in here, the pre-game coverage, and it is just laughable how big of a human Shaquille O'Neal is. Because you also have to consider he is up there with other guys that are massive human beings. And maybe it's because Draymond Green like has his feet up on the like ledge of the chair. Shaq just looks enormous in the tip-off to NBA Finals Game 3. We'll talk about that a little bit, not in the sense that you may think. I'm not going to be breaking down an NBA game, but the get-in price for the game tonight at Madison Square Garden, and if you would ever drop money like that for any event, could be a Pittsburgh sporting event, could be anything, at 412-928-9370. The fan hotline, that is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. That is where we find, as always, around 8 o'clock on a Monday night. Our guy Nick Farabaugh joins us here from PennLive.com. He covers the Steelers. Everybody's favorite Steelers reporter with a man bun, Nick. And a big question that is looming from the folks in the YouTube chat, because I got criticized for this on Saturday after I posted a picture of it. Do you ever put ketchup on a hot dog?
I personally don't. I honestly sometimes don't even put condiments on my hot dogs. I'm kind of weird like that.
You're going plain hot dog. You're going raw, naked hot dog.
I've done that more than a few times. Sometimes I put onions on, sometimes I put cheese on it. I'm not a big ketchup guy, though. I've never been a big ketchup guy on anything. So ketchup is usually not part of my palate for hot dogs. But I understand why you would do it. That and mustard. I get it. I don't really understand relish. That one I don't get.
Yeah, I don't get behind that one. I'm not a sauerkraut guy either. But I mean, where I was at, I didn't really have like this array of selections to choose from to like top off the hot dog. I thought, all right, I'll put a little bit of ketchup on here. And of course, there's people that are like, I can't believe you put ketchup on a hot dog. And I'm thinking, like, is this not normal?
What? I feel like that's very normal. I see that. Go to a dollar dog game at PNC Park, if anyone ever can. And I would bet at about 65 to 70% of them have ketchup on them. Just a feel.
Yeah, you got to add like a little bit of, you got to add a little bit of flair to it. Nick, the get-in price at MSG tonight for Game 3 of the NBA Final, well into the thousands, and that's even to just sit in the peanut section. I think to sit on, like, the celebrity row, it's, like, over $1 million. If a get-in price for an event was well over $1,000, what would it have to be for you to pay for it?
I mean, man, it's tough. I don't know if I'd ever drop money like that on a certain event. I don't want to do it for, because I truly, it will never happen again if it does happen. If Pitt goes to the national championship, I went to Pitt. I've been a Pitt fan since like three. If they happen to some way wiggle their way into a national championship game, I'd probably think about it then. Would I do it for a Super Bowl? Probably not. Would I do it for World Series? Probably not. Like any basic event, I don't think I would just do it for the experience. I wouldn't just do it just to say I went to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't drop like $2,000. And the Super Bowl prices this year were absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
The common man has been kind of flung out of these top events. I mean, it's crazy. I think, you know, the peanuts were like $5,000 for this MSG game. Wild when you think about that. But yeah, I wouldn't personally spend that type of money on really any event. It would have to be a very specific thing that will never happen in my lifetime.
A couple of guys that can now spend that money and then some on that. Two Steelers from the 2023 draft class that signed new contracts last week. And it's been in between discussions for us, Nick. And we found out even after a talk that we had on Tuesday, because we talked twice last week after I filled in for the midday show on Tuesday. Nick Herbig signs his deal just hours after that. Darnell Washington a couple of days later. And leading up to that, you and I thought Joey Porter Jr. would be the one that is top priority. Does there need to be any concern that he doesn't get that deal? Uh-oh.
I don't think so. Oh, I just think it's going to be a little bit tougher to toe code how he's going to really work out. Porter, it's a little tougher. There's going to be a lot of pieces in that corner market. I don't think you'd look at the tight end market. For blocking tight ends, it's kind of set. Josh Oliver was making around $9 million per year. He was tops of the line. You'd look at Charlie Kolar, he got $8 million. So Darnell was going to be number one there. He's the best blocking tight end in the league, I think. So naturally, he's in that market. At, edge rusher, I thought that was four to kind of draft. You think about that, and you think about Herbig. With Odafe Owe getting $25 million, that felt like a pretty good floor or some typecast at the very least for it. With Porter, you're going to have guys like Christian Gonzalez continuing to kind of set it up. And so you're going to get more and more of these guys getting paid in higher amounts. We saw McDuffie already get $31 million per year. So there's more moving pieces, I think, to the corner market than there are to the others. So I think it'll just take a little longer for this to get done than, say, others. But I do think Porter gets done eventually. It's just where do they kind of sit in? I think it's going to be north of $25 million, which is where J.C. Horn is. But how rich does he want this deal to be? I can't see them giving him, you know, Surtain Stingley money, which is 29-plus.
Do you think it's something that happens before they get to Latrobe, or do you think it happens kind of during that time of training camp?
I think that they would like to have it done by then. And I think it's probably a good bet that it does get done by then. They've had this happen before where they have had tough discussions. I mean, TJ Watt last year, if you would have told someone they would have gotten the TJ Watt extension done before training camp, I think they would have looked at you like you had three heads. Remember, we were talking about that just dragging out the whole offseason. I do think that you look at that and you think, okay, Joey Porter Jr.'s contract has more moving pieces, but this is not rocket science, as I said. $26 to $28 million. The guaranteed structure, sure, we'll see where that comes in. And if you give him $26 million per year, he's being paid like a top five corner. I mean, that's a top five corner salary. So I don't think they need to reset the market here. I think the structure of it's going to be a little tough to totally decode, and we kind of talked about that too. But I do think the Steelers are going to get this done probably before training camp. They would certainly like to do that. But I don't see this dragging out. Like, I don't think necessarily it's going to take until, you know, the week of week one, like Cam Hayward's or Jaylen Warren's did last year.
Do you think Keanu Benton is the guy that is the odd man out of somebody that could be in line for a new deal?
So Benton's a tough one because I think Keanu Benton is someone that certainly has an interesting market, but he's switching to a new position this year. He's going to be a three tech. He's going to be more out. It's going to really allow you to really get more ability to get inside of these guards and these centers where he's just quicker than. And when you look at him as a penetrating three tech or a penetrating one tech, I mean, that's where he has the ability to get seven or eight sacks in a season. And I made this point on Friday, Donnie, and I was even texting with Mulsey about it. You know, I said $16-18 million per year for Benton. It's not crazy. A guy like Turk Wharton got $15 million per year. Osa Odighizuwa had similar production to Benton in some respects and got 20. Like, I don't think we're going to see Benton get up a 20 from the Steelers in an extension, but certainly north of Wharton's deal. So that's a tough one to totally figure out because Benton could certainly bet on himself. And if he launches a seven sack season and hits the open market, you get into a bidding war for these guys because they're scarce. He could easily get into the 20s if he has another great year, right? So that's the tough thing there. I guess it's all about, one, his desire to stay with the Steelers, two, how they like his role in Patrick Graham's scheme and where they think it will go, and then three, where the Steelers kind of value him as a player because you just don't find many good interior pass rushers that are first. The Steelers do not really have another interior pass rushing-focused guy. Cam Hayward can do both, but Harmon's more of a run stuffer. Joseph Day's a run stuffer. So their kind of interior sack production is really drawn to Benton and Hayward. And so Benton is a valuable piece. It's just the run defense is naturally not going to give him this incredible market like a guy like Milton. Williams, you got like 25 a year. So we'll see where it comes. I would not be surprised if it gets done.
Oh, Nick, do we still have you? I feel like we may have to give him a ring. Okay. All right. Things were getting a little bit choppy there, so I was worried about you.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
How will they deploy the edge rushers after the deal with Nick Herbig last week?
So I think we're going to see Herbig on the field a little more than we did last year. When you look at him with all three of them healthy, he would get about 30 to 40% of the snaps. I think we see that up towards 50 now this year. Naturally, you're giving this guy a big-time extension. You're basically calling him the future of the position for the org. And so you got to get this guy more and more snaps. And it makes sense. You look at even in the kind of short time he has really been given starter snaps, look at the efficiency numbers on just pressures, on havoc rate and stuff, think is like strip sacks, just stripping the ball in the run game, making run stops. I think people think that he's, he's this bad run defender. I don't know where that came from. He's not a bad run defender. Is he a Highsmith Watt level run defender yet? No, but he's a good one still in the league. And so I think you play him more and you kind of dial back Watt and Highsmith snaps a little bit. Watt played like 85% of the snaps when he was healthy last year. It's a lot of snaps for a 30-year-old to play. For Highsmith, he's been hurt the last 2 years. You want to draw back the snaps a little bit, keep him healthy, keep him fresh. And the healthier the legs are on these guys, the more effective they are in late-game rushing situations. I continue to say sometimes I think you looked at Watt and Highsmith later in games and they just had dead legs because they were playing so much. The Steelers were on the field so often because they really didn't get a lot of three and outs last year. So they were just on the field kind of burying their legs into the kind of turf and grass week in, week out. And so you're going to be able to really manage those snaps, and you might see a little less Watt and a little less Highsmith than more Herbig, and that's totally fine because it's going to keep all of them fresher, and it's going to allow them to really flourish even deeper into games.
My only fear with that is that we heard a little bit about it last year, and it just seems a lot easier said than done. Like the idea of all three guys playing more is easier to say and not necessarily put into practice on game day.
It can be. I think you look at it, though, and TJ Watt is like this workhorse that never wants to come off the field. Highsmith is the same way. But at some point, you as a coaching staff also have to put your foot down a little bit and say, hey, Nick Herbig is like a star. Like, we're not talking about a normal outside linebacker three. They paid him $25 million per year for a reason. And it's because he's probably, in terms of pure explosiveness, their most explosive pass rusher. So you want him on the field in pass rushing downs. He's also their most versatile guy. Donnie, when we talk about guys that go inside and blitz over the A gaps and the B gaps, he's the guy that can do that. Highsmith and Watt, they're not that great at that, I think, part of their game. I think that's really Herbig's specialty. His ability to move off ball, his ability to play over the A gap or the B gap, his ability to work against edge rushers and just beat them with explosion is kind of what his superpower is. And so while I agree that it can be tough, and then you have Jack Sawyer to kind of come into everything too, who is certainly no slouch himself as an outside linebacker four, I think you have to kind of figure this out because Herbig is going to be here for the foreseeable future, and he deserves a bigger snap share than he got last year. You can't have him. There were times last year where he would play like 29% of the snaps. That just can't happen.
Talking to Nick Farabaugh, covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, who is the number one tight end on this roster?
It's an interesting question because I think that they view them as co-tight end ones, but I also think we talk about Darnell Washington and what he can do And I almost lean his way because I think he just does so many different things. He can play in line, out wide, H-back. You can do a lot of things with him. And on early downs, the way he impacts run games is incredible. I mean, you look at the run game efficiency without Darnell Washington in the game and with him in the game last year, and it's like night and day. He is just a force multiplier. And again, I think he's the best. He might be the best blocking tight end in the league right now. You look at the leap he's made. He's gotten better every single year. And he's not a total non-zero as a receiver on top of that. He is just a really special kind of player that there's really not another guy like him in the league. Like there's not another Darnell Washington out there right now. And so I think his ability to impact the game, especially in the modern NFL, where we see teams going lighter and lighter and these two high kind of shells on defense, the run game's more important than ever. He is a guy that can totally change the math for teams that is going to force them to go heavier. Then that opens up opportunities for other guys like Metcalf, Pittman, Bernard, even Freiermuth. So I lean Washington a little bit, but I think both these guys in high regard. You give him the extension, Freiermuth's deal obviously means that both these guys are going to be on the team for foreseeable future, and there's a reason for that.
Is Bob Tonyan going to end up making the 53-man roster after he was signed last week?
It's kind of an interesting question because I think Robert Tonyan is a really interesting player because he really, I think, has a bigger reputation than his recent career states. Like, he was on practice squads for most of last year, just kind of hopping around the league. His 2021 days with Rodgers as the MVP, slinging it down there, a little bit further away than people might think. He's certainly no lock, but I think that there's definitely obviously room here. I don't really see a lot of chance from any of the depth guys. I mean, now Nowakowski is going to be somebody I think that's obviously going to make a team as the fullback, special team, or H-back type of hybrid, and that's kind of your main competition. If he's going to make the team, he's got to be the tight end three, the true tight end three, and prove he's a better tight end than Riley Nowakowski is. Nowakowski is going to make this team. So I think that's going to be the key thing, but I think there's no guarantee. And Tonyan, he's fine. He's probably more of your traditional Freiermuth backup in some ways because they don't really have – a Freiermuth backup. If Freiermuth gets hurt, their kind of main receiving tight end is done. And I think Tonyan at least brings that. So there's certainly room for him to carve out a role here. He can play special teams. Would not surprise me if he made it, but certainly is on the fringe. And this is not a guy that was like entrenched on a roster last year that played a ton. So I think that's also something to consider.
Nick Faribault, check out his stuff, PennLive.com. Nick, as always, thanks for taking the time, brother.
Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
There we go. Our guy Nick Faribault from PennLive.com, the man with the man bun. I just keep watching the warm-up here from MSG, and that place looks electric. Game 3, NBA Finals, Knicks up 2-0. I feel like the comp to that would have to be like Pirates up 2-0 in the World Series. They come back home for game 3. Like, there's actually some feeling that they could win the thing. It's not just like game, like, obviously if they ever got back, their game 1 would be an absolute circus. But if it was like this, where they started on the road, they won the first two games, they come back here and they are up 2-0. I mean, the place would be a mob scene. It would be an absolute zoo.
If the Pirates had like a celebro behind home plate, who would be there?
I know, I'm wondering that. And I want to get into that. I want to get into like the whole scene at MSG coming up in a few minutes. But I was wondering when they were panning through the crowd and you just saw the whole who's who of everybody, it made me think who would be in a Pittsburgh celebro at one of these games. We got to think up a pretty good list whenever we come back here and get into this thing. Because I don't know. It's a fun summer topic, and it's something that a lot of people are going to watch tonight, even though basketball is not the most popular thing around here. I just think for atmosphere alone, it looks like something to watch. Also, I don't even know what podcast it was. Something that Sarah listens to. I guess the people on there were talking up the series and talking about how they've been Knicks fans forever. Because she randomly said last night, "Oh, when's the next finals game?" And I was like, "Tomorrow night. Like, why? Like, since when do you care about that?" And she was like, "Oh, they were talking about it on my podcast, and I'm more into it now." And I'm thinking, like, where did this come from? You want to watch an NBA finals game? I mean, I'm now tasked every time I go home, I got to deal with Love Island being on TV. And I know you.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know you and your boys are pumped for that, Jack.
Absolutely.
It is. It's one of those sacrifices that, like, the main TV has to go to that, like, one time. Well, it is, like, almost a nightly show. I think it runs, like, five times a week or something.
Yes, that's accurate.
But, like, I gotta make that good husband sacrifice there, because I make her watch, like, every single NFL game that's on the schedule. And realistically, that's a longer period of time than watching a reality show. 412-928-9370. You can hit us up on the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Who would be on a Pittsburgh celebrity row? It's not like, you know, if Pittsburgh had a basketball team, this could be a Pirate game thing. If the Pirates were in the World Series and they had a celeb row behind home plate, who would be there? 412-928-9370. If anybody has thoughts on that. You know, the Knicks have Spike Lee. That guy's been going to games forever. Tracy Morgan. I think John McEnroe they showed in the crowd at some point. Ben Stiller. I don't know. Has Adam Sandler gone to any games?
Chalamet. I'm pretty sure I've seen him there, yeah.
Chalamet and which Jenner is he with? Kendall?
Kylie.
That's a hard family to keep track of. They're at all these games. So I do wonder what Pittsburgh would have. 412-928-9370. We'll get into that a little bit coming up next. Also, just the idea of paying over $1,000 to see an event. Could be sports. It could be a concert. Could be whatever. Would you actually drop the type of coin that it is costing people to get into this game tonight inside Madison Square Garden? 412-928-9370. We'll get into that coming up next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly start sit advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.